When we live godly lives and pray with fasting, the yokes are broken, healing quickly appears, and our prayers are answered. This is exactly what the Bible says. This is what the Bible teaches. But it also teaches that an ungodly lifestyle can cancel out the results of praying and fasting. Promises made to those fasting can go unfulfilled. This is why, Isaiah 58, verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves with fasting, and you have not noticed? Verse 4, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. You are full, what he's saying is, you're full of selfish ambition, strife, and wickedness. You always demand your own way and have a fit if you don't get your way. You see, we cannot be mean and ungodly and expect God to bless us. Fasting and praying is no justification for being mean. It's amen. It's no justification for disobeying God. We have to obey God. Just like when I was speaking to Milton a while ago, you read the Bible, you pray over the Word of God, the Lord speaks to you, and you got to do what He tells you to do. If you're fasting and praying and He tells you to go to church and you stay home and watch the live stream, you're going to miss something. That's not being mean. That's just somebody's got to say it. Can you say amen? We have to obey the Lord. But fasting can produce victory and healing. And here it is, Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, the things that bind you, to break the things off of you that bind you. And to untie the cord of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. He said, that's the kind of fast I've called. Not just to starve you to death, but to break everything off of you that's giving you a problem, including demonic people at work, to break their hold over you. You see, fasting is not meant to increase oppression, but to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Verse 7, is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? About 3 or 4 years ago, the Lord spoke to me, and He said, I want you to start being generous by providing food to needy people. And I told Rick and Diane Stewart, they told me they wanted to help feed the poor, feed needy people. And I told them what God had told me, and then we agreed that God had called them to do it. And since then, we probably give out thousands of boxes of food. Why? Because it says, is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? God says that while we are fasting, I expect you to be generous and not greedy. That's why it's so important for you to give in these offerings as God lays it on your heart. Don't ever give because somebody tells you a sob story. But give because God quickens it to your heart. That's what you need to do. If you give to everybody that comes along with a sob story, you throw away a lot of good money. Amen. So hear from God. But you got to be generous if you want to be blessed. Verse 8, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. Righteousness will go before you. If your heart's right, you're righteous on the inside, it's showing the outside. Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. A godly person who fasts and pray, they can have good results. Do I need to read any of that again? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? And here again, never let anything put you under condemnation. The devil will take something that's meant for good and cause you to feel condemned over it. Okay. If any of us have had things in our life that's not right, let's just repent of it and forget it. Don't let the devil keep us from believing God because of condemnation. Verse 8. Then in everything I read up here, I'm not necessarily doing just the way I'm supposed to be. It hits me too, but I refuse to live under condemnation. Verse 8, Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. Verse 9, then you will call, and the Lord will answer. When you fast and pray and got your heart right, you will call on God, and he'll answer you. I didn't make this up. Every promise in this book from Genesis to Revelation is for God's people. Now, it's true these people are under a different covenant, and it's not their fault. Jesus hadn't come yet. So we're under a different covenant, but we're still the people of God. They were and are the people of God. Of course, they're in heaven. The ones before Christ certainly are. And but we're all God's people, and every promise made to God's people in the Old Testament and New Testament is for you. Verse 9, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Just like the other day when I lost my phone and boy, I had to have that phone. I said, God, you have to help me find this phone. And I heard him say, I got it. And he showed me where it was. It's in the parking lot where my health club is, leaning against a tree. It was raining when it bounced off my belt, and I didn't know it bounced off. Somebody got it, leaned against a tree, and there it was, protected from the rain by the tree. I know you don't seem to be impressed about that, but I'm very impressed about that. And here it is. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help. Where's my phone? And he'll say, I got it. You see why I believe this? Because it works. And if I don't get up and tell you it works, then I'm not your friend. You got to know it works. I feel like God has called me to model it. Amen. When the devil attacks my health, you want to see me get well, get healed. Because it works. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs. This is what happens when we do God's kind of fast. Why are you fasting? Why are we fasting? You not heard. Your fasting ends in quarreling. And so he says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard. But when we do God's kind of fast and get our heart right with God, you say, well, how do I do that? 1 John 1:9, if we confess. I know I say that a lot, but I need to do that a lot. If we confess, not just wicked sins, but anything we do that's displeasing to the Lord, anytime we disobey in any way, we need to ask him to forgive us and cleanse us so we'll be right with him so that when we fast and pray, it'll work. Amen. This is what happens when we do God's kind of fast. Yokes are broken, healing quickly appears, prayers are answered, and needs are met. Now, what was the purpose of a sacred assembly in the Old Testament? And does the sacred assembly work under the new covenant? This is a sacred assembly. Right here. This church, during this time of praying and fasting. Joel chapter 1, verse 14. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. See, it's not just enough to fast by yourself. But call a sacred assembly. And that's what they did at Antioch in the New Testament. They were fasting and praying on the first day of the week. And the Lord spoke to that church to send Paul and Barnabas out on a mission trip. They fasted and prayed again and sent them out. Amen. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord. Bring them to the house of the Lord. That's why you need to be in the house of the Lord, if possible. I mean, the Lord is generous and he's understanding, but when he says to do something and we can do it, we need to make an all-out effort to do it. Amen. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to him. So this is the Old Testament example of how to be blessed, called a sacred assembly. And the New Testament says that the Old Testament is our example. We don't have to keep the legalism of the law, but it's an example. Yes. Somebody say amen. Amen. So it's an example. If you want your prayers answered and you're having a difficult time getting them answered, Might be a time to join a sacred assembly and get in here and fast and pray. Joel chapter, and you won't find many of those today. It seems like God is spreading it all over the country. I'm believing that every city has at least one church that has a sacred assembly in every city. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. And that's a key right there. You got to be willing to do anything and everything he says. Return to him in total obedience. It says, with fasting. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, with fasting and repentance. In other words, the mourning is repentance. Verse 13, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate. We need to understand he wants to heal you because he loves you, he cares about you, he is compassionate. He hurts when you hurt. And I know that's hard for people to believe, but it breaks his heart. You've heard this many times, but you need to hear it again. I saw Jesus Christ in a vision crying. I said, in my head, I didn't have time to actually say it. I said, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying because I provided all these things for my people and they will not believe me for them. It breaks the heart of God when we will not believe him. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. Thank God for that or I wouldn't be here. Slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. I mean, God can have a plan. Man, I'm going to take this guy out. But if that person starts, and I can prove it from Scripture. I don't care what some of these crazy know-it-all so-called theologians teach. And most people have a lot of crazy that. They're not theologians at all. Well, you can't ever change God's mind. Well, he can do anything he wants to do, including changing a command to bring destruction on somebody. And I can prove it and will prove it if I have enough time today. Slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. What else do you need to know? That's why if you've done some horrible thing, you can know if you repent of it, God will relent and not destroy you because of what you did. But if you think God just said in heaven, let people do anything they want to do, now sooner or later he's bringing judgment, man. But if we're fasting and pray and we happen to be under that judgment, it can change. And Barry Coverson didn't say that. God said it in his word. Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. Do you not understand that Jesus Christ is God? Every word in this book is inspired by God. Every word in this book from Genesis to Revelation is inspired by Jesus Christ. This all his word. Good news. You say he grants mercy. When? When we repent and pray with fasting. Verse 17, let the priest say, spare or deliver your people, O Lord. How many of you need some mercy and need some grace and need some and need some deliverance? Spare your people, deliver your people, O Lord. Verse 18, is this good? Amen. Verse 18, then the Lord will be jealous for his land, for his church. For his church in America and around the world, then he will be jealous for his land. Do you not understand? All the Christians, all the world is his land, is his people. He doesn't care if you're in China or India or America. You're his people. Then the Lord will be jealous of his land, his people, and take pity on his people. Verse 19, the Lord will reply to them. When you fast and pray, get your heart right with God. Here's the promise. I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil enough to satisfy you fully. Not partly. Verse 20, I will drive the northern army far from you. Most scholars believe that's Russia. I mean, Russia is still a problem. He says, I'll drive the northern army far from you. Praying with fasting can save us. When we repent and pray with fasting, God promises to meet every need. I'm sending you enough to satisfy you fully. As Jesus said, fasting is rewarded. When you give, your Heavenly Father will reward you. When you pray, your Heavenly Father will reward you. When you fast, your Heavenly Father will reward you. I'm sending you enough to satisfy you fully. So as Jesus said, fasting is rewarded. I'm sending you grain, new wine, and oil enough to satisfy you fully. and I will defeat the Northern Army, Russia. And China, North Korea, anyone else that comes. If this nation would return to God with fasting and praying, he says, I'll heal the land. He said, America's in a mess. You got that right. It's because we've been listening to the devil. And a lot of preachers listen to the devil too. The reason America is in sin and rebelling against God is because cowards in the pulpit won't preach the truth. They're afraid they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. I'm more concerned about hurting his feelings. And when I preach it, I know I'm not perfect. But I still got to preach it. Amen. And then I just repent and ask God to forgive me. Amen. What if our lives are a wreck and we did it? Is there any hope for us? Can prayer with fasting fix our lives that we've messed up? Well, I'll be like, well, I messed it up. I'm just going to have to live with it. No, that's not true. Amen. Fasting and praying in the presence of God, meditating on his word, can fix you. And your family and everything else around you, make it at least give you a life worth living in this world. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh. Manasseh is probably the most wicked king in the Bible. And it says, even after his reign, God brought judgment because so many people followed him. He's one of the main reasons they were led into exile, this man, Manasseh. Read the Bible. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. Well, that's where America is right now. The preachers who are preaching the truth, they're being ignored. You see, they would not repent. They kept right on serving Baal and the false idols and false gods. Verse 11, so the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria. How many know God can bring an evil army against you? God can bring an evil army against the United States of America and destroy this place if we don't repent. And I believe he will. I believe he will. Why would he destroy Israel, his people, and let us get away with aborting babies and all the murderous things we do? And people raping and murdering each other and hating each other and racism everywhere. Why should God let us get away with that? He won't. But I believe right now he's sending revival and he's turning this thing around. There's a lot of people now beginning to preach this and they're beginning to turn from their wicked ways. And God's paying attention. Amen. The Lord brought against them the army commanders, the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prison, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. Verse 12, in his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly. And I've shown you before, and I'll show you again if I have enough time. They humbled themselves with fasting. That's the way they humble themselves. And it says greatly. And Norman doesn't say that. So greatly fasting, I think, meant like 40 days. Man, he was fasting greatly before the Lord his Father. Now look, verse 13. And when he prayed to him, have you messed up your life? This guy messed up his life and his kingdom. He messed up Israel, Judah. The Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. He restored him back to his position because he fasted and prayed. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. You see, this is one of the most wicked kings, as I just said, in Israel's history. When he humbled himself and fasted, God restored him to his throne. Do you need to be restored? Does your family need to be restored? You may want to participate in this sacred assembly. You see, King David sinned. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. We do need to live godly lives. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. This is when he stole Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and murdered Uriah, her husband. How many know that's bad? A man after God's own heart did that. And God wasn't going to let him get away with it. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You've repented, fasted, repented. You are not going to die. But because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die. Sin comes with a high price, ladies and gentlemen. Our world teaches, well, just do anything you want to do. There's no truth. There's no right or wrong. Just do what you want to do. Everything will be okay. Lie. From Satan. Verse 15, after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child. See, I mean, the Lord just not sitting there doing nothing. Now, God doesn't put bad things on godly people. He doesn't put bad things on people just because they make a mistake, especially if they're willing to repent of it, make it right. But when somebody does something like this, takes another man's wife and murders him, there's a price to be paid. And you can say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it happened anyway, and it still will happen. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God. I just want to show you, this is a redemptive story. It doesn't sound like it yet, but it will be if I got enough time. David pleaded with the Lord for the child. There's nothing wrong with my throat. I just talking so fast, I'm about to strangle myself. I have a lot of saliva. Thank God for that. That's a good thing. You don't get choked on saliva. Verse 16, David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into his house and spent the nights lying on the ground. This is kind of hard he had. He knew he'd messed up, and he didn't try to justify it like we do. Verse 18, on the seventh day, the child died. As I said, sin comes with a high price. And here again, I'm not trying to put condemnation on anyone because you still got 1 John 1:9. And if you repent, God can change everything. And I want you to see what God did here. Then David got up from the ground. His servants asked him, why are you acting this way? So he fasted 7 days. On the seventh day, the baby died. Why are you acting this way? His servants were amazed. He was fasting and praying and brokenhearted until the baby died, and then he just got up and acted like nothing had happened. They said, what's going on here? While the child was alive, they said, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. Verse 22, he answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. You see, he knew the power of fasting. God had told him the child would die, but he knew fasting was powerful, so he said, I'm going to give it a try. Why not give it a try? Who knows? The Lord may be gracious. Verse 24, then David comforted his wife Bathsheba. Now listen. He went to her and lay with her. She gave birth to a son, and they called him Solomon. After he repented and fasted 7 days, he gave him another child by the same woman, and he became the greatest king who's ever lived in history, Solomon. That's the redemptive power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemptive power of God. It's right here in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And God gave them another baby that became the greatest king who ever lived. So you may say, well, I've messed up. So did what's his name? Yeah, Manasseh. Manasseh messed up. David messed up. You messed up. I messed up. So what? But we need to repent, fast, and pray, and with God's help, live a righteous, godly life. Amen. Just like Manasseh, God honors those who pray. And David repented and fasted 7 days, and God honored that. Pray, fast, repent, regardless of your past, and God would take care of you. Psalm 109, verse 24. Let me see. I think I'll skip that one. I got out of time. Psalm 35, verse 13. Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. So David was fasting and praying here for his friends. Did David humble himself with fasting? Yes. It says, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. I want to show you that. It says that all through the Old Testament, they humbled themselves with fasting. So when it says you humble yourself, it means with fasting. David fasted for his friends that were sick. Fasting was his lifestyle. Why? He knew it worked. No matter what mess we have made, everything can be restored through prayer and fasting and repentance. Follow the Old Testament example. We're told that the Old Testament was written for example. If God worked miracles for Manasseh and David, he'll work miracles for you and me if we'll do what they did. Will God heal America if we pray and fast? If God's church in America will pray and fast? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves with fasting. There, Sibby's, well, that doesn't mean fasting. Well, it certainly does. And I will prove it as I always do. I don't just say things. Can you say amen? If my people, which are called by my name, born-again believers in this case, shall humble themselves with fasting and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Quit complaining about your politicians and get on your face like David did. Fast and pray, and God can turn this thing all right around. Okay, this right here is the Day of Atonement. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. This is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, is a major Jewish holiday to this day. It's centered around a 25-hour period of fasting from food and drink. They still do it. Good Jews. Orthodox, dedicated Jews. And that tells you that in Leviticus 23:32. So when it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, it means humble themselves with fasting. Because that's exactly what they did and still do. They had a hard time even saying it, Yom Kippur. That was a 25-hour fast, food and drink. So this is, and it's what it is still today, for those who are really loyal to the true Jewish law. This is what it means to say, humble yourself. Bill Bright, director of Campus Crusade for Christ, said, nothing else can compare with the supernatural power released when we fast and pray. Campus Crusade for Christ became one of the greatest and still is one of the greatest ministries in America, as far as I know. He also stated, not only will fasting and prayer transform an individual or church, it can change the course of a nation. Before Bill Bright died, he went across this nation challenging all the preachers and all God's people to fast 40 days. I was fasting 21 then, and I said, well, 21's good enough. But a little later on, God says, it's not good enough for you. You need to go 40. And if I haven't lost count, I fasted 40 days 18 times. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you Bill Bright's right. If we want to save this land, we need to get off our do-nothing and quit criticizing everybody and blaming everybody for everything goes wrong. Blame ourselves because we're not fasting and praying. We're commanded to pray for those in leadership. They're not commanded to agree with them. We're commanded to pray for them. Amen. And do what you want to do, but this nation is going to fail if we don't do what God said to do.